We're talking Investor Day, the Spider-Verse, and the newest episode of The Mandalorian, all coming up on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and there's so much we got to talk about this week from Disney Investor Day. So, instead of our usual format, we usually go through trailers, then we go to movie news, TV news. We're just going to be doing non-Investor Day news, then we're going to be going into all the Investor Day stuff, talking about trailers there, and then we're going to be going on to Mandalorian, and so forth. So, let's get started with the non-Investor Day news. Starting with the fact that The Hollywood Reporter confirms that Alfred Molina, Andrew Garfield, and Kirsten Dunst will return for Spider-Man 3. Also in talks, Tobey Maguire and Emma Stone. To top that all off, Charlie Cox is rumored to return as Daredevil as well. This film is becoming insanely huge. Don't forget that Benedict Cumberbatch is also already in this film as Doctor Strange. Jamie Foxx is already as Electro. Alfred Molina means Doc Ock is back. Andrew Garfield means that his Spider-Man is back. Kirsten Dunst means MJ is back. Tobey Maguire as his version of Spider-Man. And Emma Stone, I don't think, is coming back as Gwen Stacy. I think she's coming back as Spider-Gwen. That makes a lot more sense, since Gwen, spoilers, dies at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, so this is probably her version of Spider-Gwen. Emma Stone kills the role. It would be an amazing casting, and I think it would break the internet if Emma Stone was our Spider-Gwen in the MCU. This casting, though, I feel like it'd be harder for Tom Holland to bring all of these characters to him. I think Tom Holland is going to be entering the Spider-Verse. I think he's going to be entering Andrew Garfield's universe, and he's going to be entering Tobey Maguire's universe, and it's going to end up with an Endgame style, let's bring all these Spider-Men together. That's at least how I have been seeing this. I hope that's true. I would love to return to those universes, see what's going on in those different places, but you know what? That's just me. Daredevil, his inclusion leads me to believe that, you know, Tom Holland's going to need a lawyer, and Daredevil's going to be that lawyer for him. I don't think he's going to be in that much bigger of a role, because what what villain is Spider-Man facing that he's going to need Daredevil for? You know what I mean? Because Spider-Man can pretty much take on anyone Daredevil can, but that's just me. Let me know what y'all think about all that. iCarly will return with Miranda Cosgrove, Jerry Traynor, and Nathan Kress, all at Paramount Plus. I was not a fan of the show or the universe that it was connected to with Victorious. I don't know, maybe people are excited. Tyler Hoechlin's Superman gets a brand new suit, New 52 inspired, for his new show, Superman and Lois. Tyler Hoechlin is probably the best part of the Arrowverse now that many people have left it. Many shows have been canceled. So I'm excited for his show. He is great on Supergirl, if you haven't seen it, and he is amazing in the crossovers. He may be the best Superman living because Henry Cavill is garbage. So I'm excited. Hailee Steinfeld's Kate Bishop gets a brand new suit for the Hawkeye show from set photos. You know, Kate Bishop in the comics, I'm not a big fan of her look, but they've added a little different color variation on Hailee Steinfeld. They added like a logo. It looks pretty cool. She looks pretty badass. Check it out on our page at Live Action Remake. Netflix is set to create a 3D animated Sonic the Hedgehog show in 2022. I don't think this is related to the movie. If it is, I'd love Ben Schwartz to be coming back. I'm not a big fan of the Sonic shows. There's not one that I can put my finger on and say that I really loved. But, you know, Netflix has a pretty good track record. Maybe the show will be good. We also get a first look at Batwoman Season 2 in a trailer that showcases the new Batwoman, Javicia Leslie, as Ryan Wilder. She looks pretty cool. I prefer her over Ruby Rose already. I didn't think Ruby Rose did a particularly good job as being interesting. I think maybe Ruby Rose isn't the best actress, but Javicia Leslie looks like a step in the right direction. Disney Investor Day happened, and there is so much to talk about. I'm going to be breaking it down by category, and I'm not going to go over everything. There are some things that they announced that didn't really mean anything until like we get more information. So I'm going to be going into the things that we can tangibly put together and be excited about. Starting with Disney Television News. The Mighty Ducks Game Changers is bringing back Emilio Estevez and bringing in Lauren Graham. I vaguely remember the Mighty Ducks. I'm not a huge sports movie guy, but Emilio Estevez, I'm excited to see him back. That seems pretty cool. Turner and Hooch, a remake of the Tom Hanks film, will be with Josh Peck. I've never seen this movie. I like Tom Hanks. I'm not a big Josh Peck guy, but that's one thing. Beauty and the Beast is getting a spinoff with Luke Evans and Josh Gad as Gaston and LeFou. We already knew this. They didn't give a title or anything. I like Luke Evans and Josh Gad as those characters from that movie. I don't like that movie. That movie is not a necessary remake. The original is much better. Percy Jackson and the Olympians will be getting a Disney Plus show. This one I am very excited about. I read all the books, including the sequel series. It's an amazing story, way better than Harry Potter, come at me. But the movies did a horrible injustice because he starts off as a 12-year-old in the books, and Logan Lerman is like 18 when you see him in the first movie, which is horrible. They changed the whole prophecy. I can go on a whole tangent about that. I'm just very excited about this one. Rick Riordan actually debuted the logo early that day, so he's very excited about the show. So I'm excited about the show. On Hulu, American Horror Stories, a spinoff of American Horror Story, is coming. That seems pretty cool. On FX, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for 4 more seasons. This is a great sitcom. I started it maybe a year before the pandemic. I rewatched it during the pandemic. It stays funny. It's a great show if you haven't seen it. One of the best. Alien is in development with Noah Hawley. Noah Hawley you may know from Legion. And will take place on Earth. An alien TV show. That's pretty exciting. That's big stuff at FX. I think FX does some really cool TV shows. I'm excited to see what that's about. Shogun is a retelling of James Clavell's epic saga set within feudal Japan. Shogun, that sounds pretty cool too. I'm excited about all these. Now on to Walt Disney Studios motion pictures. Hocus Pocus 2 is in development. Three Men and a Baby reboot with Zac Efron. Weird. Cheaper by the Dozen reboot starring Kenya Barris and Gabriel Union. I like Cheaper by the Dozen. And I love Kenya Barris. I don't think it needs a reboot, though. It's a pretty standard story. I don't think they can make that movie any better than it was. But, yeah, who knows. Sister Act sequel with Whoopi Goldberg. I like those movies, kind of. In, like, a guilty pleasure kind of way. Let's see what happens with the next one. Flora and Ulysses, about a girl and her super-powered squirrel based on a graphic novel. I never heard about this. It came out in 2013, the graphic novel. I kind of want to read that now just to see what this is about. It's coming to Disney Plus. This one's exciting. A Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie with Andy Samberg and John Mulaney. I love those two guys. This is exciting. I hope they don't like modulate their voices to make them sound like chipmunks. I want them to just sound like Andy Samberg and John Mulaney. I don't know much about the Rescue Rangers. I know Chip and Dale because of like Disney, but well, who knows? This is gonna be funny for sure, because anything with John Mulaney, you have my money. And Andy Samberg now, you have my money twice. So let's go and see what that's about. A Pinocchio film coming straight to Disney Plus with Tom Hanks as Geppetto and Robert Zemeckis directing. Do we need another Pinocchio? How many times have we seen Pinocchio? It's a creepy story. I'm not a huge fan of that one. I don't think it makes a lot of sense if you just say it out loud, kind of like the Ninja Turtles, except the Ninja Turtles is more exciting. I don't think we need any more live-action remakes. That's a live-action remake. So, speaking of a live-action remake, Peter Pan and Wendy with Jude Law as Captain Hook and Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell is also coming. Again, I don't need another live-action remake. I know I named this podcast live-action remake. I don't like them. It was just a joke, but it is what it is. Gotta take the wins where we get them. Jude Law as Captain Hook, that's a great casting. That's a solid casting. Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell, we already knew. If you want my take, I don't think she's a particularly good actress. I don't like Black-ish. No, not Black-ish. I don't like her spinoff, Grown-ish. Not a pretty good show. You gotta be more animated. You gotta be more out there. So hopefully, you know, this gives her something interesting to do. We'll see what happens. This one's exciting. Disenchanted, a sequel to Enchanted, is coming with Amy Adams set to return. Enchanted is my favorite Disney princess movie. It's up there as one of my favorite Disney movies. Maybe up there as one of my favorite movies of all time. I love James Marsden in this movie. I think it's like the only role I could point to where I'm like, hey, he's a good actor. Everyone in that movie kills it. And I'm excited for a sequel. I really am. I don't know where they're going to go with it. Maybe they go back to the animated world. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Or stay in the human world. And maybe things are going out of hand. Like, I don't know. I don't know where they go with this, but I'm excited. I definitely am. Diary of a Wimpy Kid is getting an animated series. Oh, man. I want to see if the hashtag not my Roderick comes back, because that was a whole thing. If you guys forgot about that. The animation looks pretty good. It looks exactly like the book, so that's kind of cool. Ice Age, The Adventures of Buck Wild with Buck Wild and the Possum Brothers is coming. I hate Ice Age. I think Ice Age is such a bad series. It went so off the rails after the first one, I feel. And it just kept spiraling and spiraling, and I don't know why they're still making stuff. Who's watching Ice Age? Let me know if you're watching Ice Age. An animated Night at the Museum film is in development. That is exciting to me. I think Night at the Museum is a very fun idea. It's a very fun movie. Even when it got very weird, like with the second and third one, it was still fun. You know, some kids' movies you watch and they're just pandering and dumb. This movie just was like trying to have fun with it. Rami Malek was in it. Amy Adams was in it. It had an amazing cast. Ben Stiller. I hope Ben Stiller comes back for this one. I would love to see him come back for an animated film. I don't know where they go with it next, but they could do anything with it with animation, so that's kind of cool. The Little Mermaid, this has already been announced, but I just wanted to point out that it'll have music, new music, from Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I love his music. If you don't know, he wrote Hamilton, amazing. And he wrote the music for Moana, which is also amazing. So his music is some of my favorite. Now on to Walt Disney Animation Studios. Raya and the Last Dragon will premiere with premiere access on Disney Plus on March 5th, 2021. They tried this with Mulan and it didn't work. The only difference is that Raya and the Last Dragon actually looks good. I don't know if I'll pay that. I don't know yet. If theaters are open, I might go see that in theaters instead. TBD. Encanto with music from Lin-Manuel Miranda will be released on November 2021. I love that they're leaning more on Miranda for music at Disney. He is amazing. I think he's gonna go down. He's one of the best songwriters for movies ever. He's great. Keep it coming. Baymax, an animated series about the character and him taking care of new patients, is coming. I love Baymax. Baymax is such a fun character. I love the idea of just like a kind-hearted Baymax just taking care of patients. I think that's going to be a very sweet show. I'm excited. Zootopia Plus is getting a show as well, which will just be a bunch of puns about other shows like Fast and the Furious. I know they explained more into it. Like, it will be about the side characters and them doing other side shows. It's just going to be a bunch of puns and making fun of pop culture and maybe Disney Plus a lot. I'm not a big fan of Zootopia. I don't get the appeal, but that's just me. Tiana is getting her own show. This is great. I think the character has been very much sidelined for like so long. And the fact that she's getting a show is pretty cool. We don't know much else besides the fact that it's about her, but yay, I'm down for it. Moana is getting a musical series. I love the character of Moana. It's one of the best Disney princess movies in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And it's a great musical. So the fact that they're going more into the musical elements of Moana, that's great. I hope they keep Lin-Manuel. I know I keep saying Lin-Manuel, but he is amazing. I love his music. Iwaju, an Afro-futuristic animated show, is coming to Disney+. This one looks pretty cool. It's getting Wakanda vibes. Everyone's getting Wakanda vibes from it. Not much else is known about it, but the animation looks very, very cool. Pixar announced two new films, Lightyear, the story of the character that inspired the toy, played by none other than Chris Evans. What the heck is this movie? I am so excited about it, but I'm wondering if this is more of a, is this the movie within the Toy Story universe, you know, Buzz Lightyear? Or is this about the making of the movie within the Toy Story universe? And if you're thinking I'm thinking too deep into this, it's Pixar. Pixar is very deep. The other thing I like about this is the casting of Chris Evans. Not just because he's Captain America, but just think about it. You buy an action figure, right? You press the button for the voice. Let's say you buy a Star-Lord action figure. And you press the button for the voice and you expect, who? Chris Pratt, right? Because he plays the character. But then it always sounds like someone doing the best impression of a Chris Pratt voice, but it's never good. So I think in this universe, you buy a Buzz Lightyear action figure, you expect Chris Evans, and what do you get? Tim Allen. And I think that's hilarious. So I'm down for this casting. I'm down for Chris Evans to get more work. And as Buzz Lightyear, I want to see what this film really is. Who knows? Maybe they'll do a Woody movie next and explain the origins of Woody. I don't know. I'm excited for this one. The second one is called Turning Red, from the director of Bao, Domi Shi. This film centers around a girl going through puberty, and every time she gets excited or overwhelmed, she becomes a giant red panda. Now, I'm gonna get really personal with you guys for a second. I have one very irrational fear, and that is when someone turns into an animal on film. It really bothers me. I don't like it. I don't like The Fly. I don't like Brave. I don't like the Shaggy Dog. If there's one that's the exception, it's Brother Bear. But other than that, I don't like it. I don't like the idea of this. I love the director of Bao. Bao was such a weird animated film, short film within Pixar. It was so good. But this one kind of creeps me out. I don't like the idea of it. I'm probably going to watch it because it's Pixar. But I'm just letting you guys know in advance, Disney, if you're listening, stop making those kind of films. I'm not a fan. Please stop. Now on to Star Wars news. There was so much Star Wars news, guys. I decided to break down the Star Wars news from what I'm least excited about to what I'm most excited about. So that way it just gets progressively cooler for me. That's how I thought it would work best. Starting with, number one, a droid story with R2-D2 and C-3PO alongside a new droid hero. This is going to be a show. Again, it sounds fun. Like, it's just another droid hanging out with droids. I'm sure it'll be very cute and very funny, but as far as the excitement of Star Wars, not very excited about that. The Acolyte, set in the High Republic era of Star Wars, near the end of it. I don't know much about the High Republic. I know that they're doing a series of books that will help explain it. I think it's the canon version of the New Republic, if I may be mistaken, let me know. That time period seems very cool. I don't know much about it, though, so I don't know what to be excited about for this one. Yeah, Star Wars Visions is set to be a series of short films composed of anime-style episodes made by Japanese creators. This is a cool concept for me. And it's low on the list only because I haven't seen any like pictures of it, so I don't know what it'll look like. But the idea of the concept is very cool. So I'm excited for that. I'm gonna keep my eye out on that one. Star Wars Rangers of the New Republic, a spinoff of The Mandalorian. This one is cool. We don't know who it's about. I'm gonna assume it's about Cara Dune. I love the title, Rangers of the New Republic. That's such an old school kind of title, you know what I mean? It's speculated to be a Cara Dune show, and maybe about the two pilots as well from The Mandalorian. Other than that, I'm not particularly excited about it. That world is cool to me in the world of The Mandalorian. I don't think it's something I want to explore that much more of, but you know, who knows? Lando series is in the works. There's no word as to whether this will be Donald Glover or Billy Dee Williams. I think it'd be harder to get Donald Glover at this point. A Billy Dee Williams show could be in the vein of Picard, maybe. I would prefer Donald Glover because I want to see more of that version of the character. I love Donald Glover, but I feel like it's too hard to get at this point. The Bad Batch got a trailer that shows off the Star Wars Clone Wars style. It didn't really tell us much more about the story. It seems like they're going to be trying to function within the world of the Empire as it's building. Not only that, we see Ming-Na Wen's character from The Mandalorian in the trailer, so that was kind of cool. Go check out that trailer. Rogue Squadron, directed by Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins, is the next film coming in 2023. I know that there are games. I know that there is a love behind the characters of Rogue Squadron. I don't know much about them. I'm really excited about this because Patty Jenkins, one, is the first female director in Star Wars. Well deserved. But two, I love her work. Wonder Woman was a great film. I'm so excited for 1984 next week. And the other exciting thing about this is that means we won't get a Star Wars film for 3 years. And I think we need that break. Honestly, there's too much Star Wars. The shows will be more than enough. We just need a break from the Skywalker saga. Andor, with Cassian Andor, got a sizzle reel, and we now know that Mon Mothma will also be in the show. Not much else is known. K2SO will be in the show, but I love Diego Luna. If you have ever had a conversation with me, you would know that Diego Luna is my favorite Diego in the world. Yeah, Cassian Andor was a cool character in Rogue One. I'm not a huge fan of Rogue One. I don't like that film, but there are aspects of that film that I do like. Cassian Andor being one of them. So I like that with Disney Plus, Star Wars is taking the small things that we like in Star Wars and making that instead of just making another Rogue One film. So I'm excited about this show in particular. I also love the fact that he's Hispanic. I don't stray away from that. He is a person of color, and that makes me really excited. It makes me really happy to have someone with like a thick Spanish accent having a Star Wars show. That is really cool for me. So I can't wait to see what's much more of Cassian Andor. Obi-Wan Kenobi has a show. We knew this for the longest time. It's called Obi-Wan Kenobi. The thing we did not know was that Hayden Christensen will return as Darth Vader. Oh my god, guys. Why did you do this? If you don't know, I don't like Hayden Christensen. I think he is the worst part of the prequel trilogy. Even in hindsight, I just rewatched them. If you watched my last episode, you'd know that I rewatched the prequels with my girlfriend just because why not? And he is clearly the worst, most creepiest part of those movies. I don't think this is a good idea. Having him play not Anakin Skywalker, he's playing Darth Vader. In this time period, he is Darth Vader. What does that even mean, though? because he's clearly going to be voiced by James Earl Jones. Like, they can't have Hayden Christensen voice the character. How does he come back? Is he a series regular, or will he return for, like, an episode to mess with the emotions of Obi-Wan Kenobi? I don't know to what extent. I was so certain that when they announced the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, the villain would be Darth Maul, because Darth Maul is alive during this time, and Darth Maul is Obi-Wan Kenobi's probably greatest enemy as far as recurring. But bringing back Darth Vader, oh my gosh, that's a big one. It's very exciting. I love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's a great casting. I wonder how he's gonna look aged up, but I'm cautiously optimistic about Obi-Wan. I am not optimistic about Hayden, but we'll see what happens. That's just huge news, you know. And finally, the show I am most excited about from Star Wars, the one that I think is the most deserved, the one that I think makes the most sense out of all of these announcements, because there are a lot, and frankly, a lot of them I don't think make sense, because 10 is too many, I think, for Star Wars, but this one is well-deserved. Ahsoka Tano will have her own show, Ahsoka, with Rosario Dawson returning. This character has had such a run, from Clone Wars to Rebels to Mandalorian, and now finally getting their own property. Ahsoka is one of the most beloved characters in Star Wars, one of my favorites, absolutely, and Rosario Dawson killed it. If you watched my last episode, you'd know I was so excited when she came on, and I was so excited with the episode. I can't wait for this show. It's clearly gonna spin off from the episode of Mandalorian, where we'll see, finally, Ezra Bridger, and finally, Thrawn. I think Thrawn will be the main antagonist of this series. I can't wait for it. It was one of the first things they announced, and at the end of it, I was still like, why aren't we still talking about Ahsoka? Ahsoka deserves this show more than anyone, and I'm so excited for it. I think that they are oversaturating with Star Wars. This is a lot of Star Wars. That's 10 new things, only one new film. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, you should be excited, but also cautious, because you do too much. You're biting off more than you can chew right now, I think, Lucasfilm. We'll see what happens, though. Now on to my bread and butter, the thing I was most excited about doing this whole thing. I watched the whole Investor Day, and the one thing I was waiting for the entire time was the MCU. I am a huge Marvel fan, and I have been craving more MCU for the longest time. So let's go into it. Instead of a list, because it would take me forever to pick and choose which were my favorite announcements, there were so many, I'm going to go by film and then by television series. I'm not going to go by what I was most to least excited about. Let's start with the film, starting with Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. Michelle Yao, who was in Guardians Volume 2 as Aletta O'Guard, will be in the film. She was one of the OG Ravagers. She'll be playing Jiang Nan. Florian Mantunu is playing the villain Razor Fist, so Razor Fist will be in this film. And comedian Ronnie Cheng is coming as Jun Jun. I love Ronnie Cheng. Awkwafina has already been announced for this film. It seems to be a very stellar cast. If you're Asian, I think you'd be very excited about this, in the same way Black Panther got African-American people excited. I think this film is going to be what that was for the Asian community, so I'm very excited about this film, Shang-Chi. But that's all the news we got about that. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness confirmed to be returning key characters Christine Palmer, Wong, and Mordo, as well as Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. It also confirmed that this movie will tie into WandaVision and Spider-Man 3, which we all basically speculated with the inclusion of Benedict Cumberbatch. But the multiverse is coming to Spider-Man 3. That's basically confirmed with this announcement. Not only that, confirmed is Xochitl Gomez as America Chavez, which me and Ricardo actually talked about on this podcast when he came on, that Xochitl Gomez was coming on to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We both thought that America Chavez was the way to go, and it correct. So go back to that episode, look at the dates. We got that. So just only here in live action remake can we do that. I mean, I'm sure other places did as well, but, you know, I'm taking credit. It was me. Thor Love and Thunder has casted its villain. Christian Bale will play Gore the God Butcher, which is such a big get. If you don't know, the visual language of Gore the God Butcher was actually taken from him and given to Hela in the movie Thor Ragnarok, like the way that she throws weapons. That's what Gore does. So I don't know what they're going to do for his visual language. Basically, his whole story is that he is an alien who believes that there weren't gods when his family passed away, so he's going to kill all the gods. So he wants to kill all the Asgardians, which include Thor, which include Valkyrie, which include Loki. So that's pretty exciting. Lady Sith will return for this film. Jamie Alexander, who has been missing since, I don't know, Thor the Dark World? It's been a long time to see her. She actually showed up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a couple of times, But ever since then, she has been missing. So it's exciting to see her come back. Now on to Black Panther 2. Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa will not be recasted in the upcoming sequel. This film will be about the party in which that he ran with. Shuri, M'Baku, Okoye, Nakia. That's who this film is going to be about. You know, I'm a little disappointed by that. I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge fan of the character T'Challa. I wanted to see more of him. But I also understand why they did this, out of respect for Chadwick. I hope down the line, maybe in 10, 15 years, we find a Black Panther from another universe and we bring him over to the MCU. That way we see more of that character. But until it's time for that, I guess leaving it the way it is makes sense. Captain Marvel 2 news. Iman Vellani's Miss Marvel and Tiana Paris's Monica Rambeau will be in the film. Tiana Paris, Monica Rambeau is from WandaVision, and Iman Vellani is from her own show, Miss Marvel. That is exciting for a couple of reasons. One, I think that one of the main reasons people didn't connect with Captain Marvel was that her entourage of characters, one, weren't really hers. They were more Samuel Jackson's. Like, she had one or two characters that really followed her around, but really, Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn really spun off and became their own kind of buddy kind of group, and we'll get more into them in a minute. But she didn't really have people, and I think Doctor Strange, you can point to the people that are in his world, and then you can point to the people of Black Panther that are in his world, and so forth, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man even. You can point at the characters that make them who they are. I think with Captain Marvel, you couldn't really do that because it wasn't certain, because she leaves the Kree. So now we see the people who are going to make up her universe, Miss Marvel and Monica Rambeau, who will probably be Photon by the time we get to this film. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited for more inclusions, and I'm really excited to see Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel team up. That's going to be such a fun dynamic, and I can't wait for that. Ant-Man and the Wasp has a new title for its sequel, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. I'm not a huge fan of that title. It's not my favorite. Not only that, Cassie Lang has been recasted from Emma Furman to Catherine Newton. I liked Emma Furman in her scenes in Endgame. I thought they were some of the most dramatic and impactful scenes. But you know what? Catherine Newton, I hear, is great in the movie Freaky. I think that means we're probably getting Stature. I think Catherine Newton will be the MCU's version of Stature. So that's exciting. Jonathan Majors has officially been casted as Kang the Conqueror. This has been rumored for a long time. I'm glad that it's official. Kang will probably be the next main villain of the MCU and will probably have connections to Loki and WandaVision and maybe a couple of other things. But we'll get into that in a little bit as well. And I think the biggest news from the MCU movies is that John Watts of the Spider-Man films will direct the MCU's version of the Fantastic Four, which, one, I am so excited about, because John Watts, one of the top five directors in the MCU. He's done an incredible job with Far From Home and From Homecoming. Those films are fantastic and made up the definitive Spider-Man. But not only that, it makes sense because if you don't know, Jonathan Majors' character, Kang the Conqueror, has a connection to Reed Richards. He is a descendant of Reed Richards, or at least heavily implied to be. So bringing in the Fantastic Four now, at the beginning of Kang entering into the story, makes a lot of sense. So that's really cool. If I had my way, and how I think they should approach this, is that the Fantastic Four should have gone missing, like, maybe in 2006. Like, the four of them went missing. They've been in space this whole time. They come back down thinking that they are going to be the heroes of Earth, and what do you know? The world is full of superheroes, and how do they fit into that world? And how do they become heroes in that world? And it would make sense, because then they would be the official first team of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because they came out in 2006. But not only that, they'd be the first family. So that would make sense comic book-wise as well. But that's my opinion, how you bring that in. How they do it, who knows? I'm really excited for John Watts' interpretation. Now on to the TV news, which really was even more than the movie news for the MCU. They came out with a lot of different stuff from their next couple of series, a bunch of trailers, so let's break them down. WandaVision got a new trailer showing off Monica Rambeau, Randall Park's Jimmy Woo, and Kat Dennings' Darcy, who has been missing since Lord of the Dark World as well. And shows off the different eras, which, without telling much about the show, it seems like this show is going one of two ways. I'm going to theorize right now. And if you don't want theories, just skip ahead a little bit. I think that there's one of two villains in this show. I think this is either going to be Wanda making up this reality and Vision having to live in it, or Vision is making a simulation for Wanda. I think those are the two ways this show is going to go down. One of these two characters is going to be the villain. I don't know which one. I think it can go either way equally. But I don't think either one of them is going to have bad intentions. They're just going to be trying to cope and making this whole reality. I don't know which one it is, though, so I'm excited. So much. It's coming out January 15th. So excited. We finally get a look at Falcon and the Winter Soldier, showing us Flag Smashers, Baron Zemo, U.S. Agent, Falcon flying action, and it feels a lot like Captain America the Winter Soldier, one of my favorite MCU films. I think the flying action with Falcon going through the rubble was amazing. It also seems like Falcon is avoiding the title of Captain America, like he's not using the shield, and Bucky is trying to convince him to do it. He's telling him that they need the symbol. Falcon has the shield in a glass case. He's not using it at all, and he's saying that the legacy of the shield is complicated. I don't think he's going to want to be Captain America. I think by the end of this show, it'll be a Daredevil situation where at the end of the first season, he finally puts on the mantle. He finally puts on the Daredevil costume. He's going to finally put on the Captain America costume. And it's going to be a big reveal. We don't get much of U.S. Agent or Baron Zemo, but we do see a little bit of them. The Flag Smashers are the group with the masks on. They seem to be some kind of anarchy group that Falcon and Winter Soldier are going to need to take out. I'm pretty excited for this, but as far as the trailers go, it was the least exciting to me. I think the other three really got me. But this one gave me more of the same, and I'm excited for more of the same for a little bit. Now on to the big one. The trailer that got me the most excited and the most confused at the exact same time. Loki is getting his own TV show coming May 2021. Oh, also Falcon and the Winter Soldier is coming March 2021. March 19th, just to go back to that. But Loki is getting his own show, May 2021. We got a good look at him taking the Tesseract and disappearing. This is the Loki that disappeared from that timeline where they lost the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame. He's gone. He's on his back foot. He doesn't know what to do next. He ends up covered in sand, kind of reminiscent of Iron Man in the original film. And he is locked up by the TVA with an agent, Mobius M. Mobius, played by Owen Wilson, which is a fantastic casting. I think when you have a character like Tom Hiddleston's Loki, you need someone with the acting chops to match him, but not only that, the charisma and the humor that Tom Hiddleston brings to the role. Owen Wilson is a great foil to Tom Hiddleston. I can't wait to see more of their interactions. We get to look at different dimensions, different timelines, worlds where maybe the Avengers lost, and we get to see Loki dressed up with a Vote for Loki button. I so many questions about this trailer. I don't know anything about what's going to happen next. I think if I had to piece it together, I think Loki is going to be working for the TVA, and the TVA is going to try to use him to fix up small things in the timeline. I think Loki's going to use that for his benefit, though, and I think by the end of this, you're going to see Loki more powerful than we've ever seen him before. I think Loki's going to be a threat the next time we see him, more than we've seen in the last couple of movies, because he really is just more of a nuisance than anything ever since Avengers. I think by the end of this, he's going to have a real grab at power. Finally, we get a What If trailer starring a ton of actors from the MCU, including Samuel L. Jackson, Benedict Cumberbatch, Chadwick Boseman in this animated show. It shows off Marvel's zombies, T'Challa as Star-Lord, Captain Peggy Carter, and The Watcher, played by Jeffrey Wright. This show has been something I've been talking about maybe ever since they announced it. I love the What If idea. I think using animation to bring these characters back, to bring characters like Michael Rooker's Yondu back, it's a great way to do it. And to show off the multiverse. I think these characters could come back in live action as well, if you think about it. If this is the multiverse, we could see Captain Carter eventually. We could see her come in, and we could see Steve Rogers as Iron Man, because that's what he is in that timeline. So that's kind of cool. I'm excited for this show. The trailer looks great. We see a dark version of Doctor Strange fighting the regular Doctor Strange. It looks pretty cool. Miss Marvel got a sizzle reel about casting, confirming Iman Vellani. We already kind of knew this, but that's still exciting news that she is confirmed to be Miss Marvel. Hawkeye confirmed the casting of Hailee Steinfeld as well. So those two are official. They are in the MCU. That's really cool. She-Hulk also confirmed Tatiana Maslany and confirmed that Mark Ruffalo will return. And get this, Tim Roth from The Incredible Hulk all the way back in 2008. The Abomination will return for the show. I was certain that General Ross would return and become Red Hulk in the show, but I guess instead they're going to Abomination. They've teased him for so long, he was set to come back in Age of Ultron, but he did not. So I'm excited to see that. He's been in jail for so long. Maybe she's trying to break him out with her throwing. Maybe she's going to fight him. I don't know, but I'm excited. Guardians of the Galaxy will have a holiday special with James Gunn writing and directing, coming holiday season 2022. It's set to be filming at the same time they film Volume 3. This is cute. I love a good holiday special. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy, and James Gunn has been writing them very well. I'm really happy that they brought him back for 3 after the firing. It was one of the dumbest things that they ever did. Very excited. He said it's in the vein of the Star Wars Holiday Special, that he was a big fan of the Star Wars Holiday Special. So that's something. I don't know. We'll see if it'll be good. I think it has to be. There's no way James Gunn doesn't make a good holiday special. I Am Groot, a series of shorts with Baby Groot, was also announced. Don't know if this is animation or live action. We don't know. Vin Diesel will presumably return. Baby Groot's cute, I think, in small doses. I don't know if I want a whole series, but they're just going to be shorts, so I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll probably be canon, but like, eh, who cares? Secret Invasion with Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn was announced. We knew that there'd be a Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury show. We didn't know to what extent. Secret Invasion is such a huge storyline to be thrown into just a show, I think. I thought there would be a whole Avengers movie, like Avengers Secret Invasion, but you know what? We'll see what happens. I love Ben Mendelsohn as Talos. I think he's the best part of Captain Marvel. I think I want to see much, much more of him. And Samuel L. Jackson's relationship. Like I said, they spun off. They're doing their own thing now. It also was teased at the end of Far From Home. If you remember that post-credits scene, you see Samuel L. Jackson with a bunch of Skrulls up in space. So maybe that's what they're doing. Armor Wars with Don Cheadle, where Tony's weapons go into the wrong hands, is coming to Disney Plus. They're really giving everyone a show, huh? I love the idea of Tony's weapons going into the wrong hands and that being a problem. I'm not a huge fan of Don Cheadle's War Machine. I think he's pretty cool, but in like the sidekick kind of way, not in like a let's give him a show kind of way. Especially one all on his own, but you know what? We'll see how it goes. I assume this will tie into Justin Hammer. He's like the main Tony Stark villain that's still around, still kicking it. Or maybe the Vulture and Tinkerer, they may be taking his tech again, and now War Machine has to go fight him. I don't think War Machine's equipped to fight all these villains, though. We'll see what happens. I also think this will tie into the next show, Ironheart, with Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams. We figured that Ironheart would come along eventually. There had to be a replacement to Iron Man, the way that they're replacing Captain America. And Riri Williams is the way to go. The comic books, people love her. I don't know much about Dominique Thorne or the character, but I'm excited for the show. And I assume it has to tie into Armor Wars. I'm pretty sure Don Cheadle's like War Machine will be like, that's Iron Man. And she's going to be like, it's not, it's mine. I think that's where it's going to go. Let me know what y'all think about all those announcements. That's everything from the MCU. So many announcements. I think that they're leading toward Young Avengers with Riri Williams, with Cassie Lang, with Miss Marvel, Spider-Man. I think we're getting Young Avengers. That's what we're going towards. And I can't wait to see that. I think the young team will be just as efficient and just as fun to watch as the older team. What was your favorite from the Disney Investor Day announcements? There was so much to go through. Overloading with excitement for some of these things. Let me know what you think about all that. We're going to be breaking down the newest episode of The Mandalorian right now, episode 7. So if you have not seen the newest episode, why don't you go ahead and give it a pause. And we're going to be starting up in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. We finally get the return of Bill Burr, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of my favorite characters from last season. He's a funny comedian. One thing I got to say about him in this episode in particular is that they did something with Bill Burr that they tried to do with DJ in The Last Jedi, but they did better with Bill, and that is present someone who shows both sides of the war are at fault. He really hates the Empire. Like, he was a part of it, and he hates that about himself. But he also sees the New Republic as more of the same, and he sees everyone as willing to cross the line when it benefits them, and he is okay with that. Overall, I loved this episode for his story alone. I think we need to see more of him, and if we do, I think it could be he could be a good aspect of maybe Rangers of the New Republic. He would make a good part of that as this, like, you know, criminal who's trying to make it straight now. Mando has to pretend to be a trooper with Burr in order to get coordinates to save Grogu. And Burr really calls him out on, like, taking off his helmet. He's like, is it take off your helmet or is it can't see your face? Which is it? Because, you know, you cross a line the same way I cross lines. He even ends up having to take off his helmet for a commanding officer and Bill Burr, which leads to a very tense moment with the commanding officer. There's a really nice moment after that, though, because, you know, Burr kills him. And it's a really nice moment when Burr gives him back the helmet, and he turns away and he says, hey, I didn't see your face, okay? And that was like, look, I respect your beliefs, which I personally appreciate, like, that moment, and it made you feel more for Bill Burr. They get off the planet. The other characters are kind of sidelined in this episode, which I wasn't really happy about, but you know, it is what it is. It was good character development for Mando. It's showing that he will cross lines. Any lines, basically, at this point, to save Grogu, his son. So, I like that development for Mando, that he's willing to do whatever he has to do now. I also just, I know this doesn't have much to do with the episode, but there's one part where they're going through everyone, like, hey, can you go do this? And they're like, no, they'll, like, I have a criminal record. Like, can you go do this? Like, no, I have a criminal record. And he's like, he goes to, hey, Boba? And then Boba's like, let's just say I think they'll recognize my face. Like, it was a very good clone joke, and that made a lot of sense. So I like that joke. And finally, the final scene of the episode, where we see Mando re-say everything that Moff Gideon said to him about, you have something of mine. You think you may know what it is, but you don't. Oh my god, Pedro Pascal gave me chills. That was such a good monologue. Mando's voice, clearly out for revenge. He's clearly angry. It looked like even Moff Gideon was a little taken aback. So I'm very excited for the finale next week. I'm so excited to see what's going down. Let me know what y'all think of the newest episode of The Mandalorian. Did you love it? I did. I'm so excited. Now I'm going to be doing something a little bit different called Rewatch, where I rewatch certain films in order to get you ready for the next big thing in media. The next big thing I'm talking about is WandaVision. So for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be watching every movie in the MCU with Scarlet Witch and Vision. Now, this won't get you entirely ready for the show, though. If you want to watch this, you should watch all the movies with Wanda and Vision, but also Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Thor, and Thor the Dark World, which will have key characters in this show. So watch those as well. But I'm going to be breaking down these movies because it breaks down the two main characters in the show. Let's get started with Avengers Age of Ultron. A film that I love to talk about because I truly believe in my heart that it has some of the best moments in the MCU. But not only that, it has some of the worst mistakes in the MCU as well. So it lives in this guilty pleasure list of movies that I have, and it gives me so much more to talk about, starting with the things that I love. We're going to start positive. Things I love about this film. Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye has given a lot of character development in this film. And by the end of it, we care about him much more. We see his family. We see him mentoring Scarlet Witch. We set him up for Endgame and for Civil War beautifully to give him motivation in Endgame as Ronan and in Civil War to fight for his family. And it makes that scene where Tony calls out him thinking about his family, it makes it that much more tense and, like, upset. We also see Hulk's transformation into Bruce Banner, which you may not have even realized. That's the first time in history that we actually see Hulk turn into Bruce. We always see Bruce turn into Hulk. So that scene is, it's a really beautiful scene, and you see, like, Bruce, like, gripping, like, stuff, and he's, like, trying to, like, go back. It's very satisfying to watch. I think it's a very well-done animation. We also get a glimpse into the potential dangerousness of the Hulk in this film. I think in the MCU particularly, but in other Hulk films, we always see Hulk as this character. He's a monster, but he generally does good. He mostly does good. He's not as destructive as other monsters, which is true. But in this one, we see his full destructive capabilities. He's kicking cop cars. He's whipping off the roofs of cars and grabbing people. It's kind of intense and horrifying, and it's the most we've ever seen him do in public. We always see him doing that at S.H.I.E.L.D. or, like, somewhere where people can't really get hurt. But in this case, it's in a town. Like, people are clearly getting hurt. Costuming-wise, I love this film. There's two characters who I love. Vision, I think, has one of the best looks in the MCU, and it's made in this film. This is the first film that has Vision, so his look is continued on through the other films, and I think it's really well done. And Captain America, who had one of the worst costumes in the original Avengers film, it's upgraded for this one. It's given that in-between of the military vibe and modern-day vibe. So I like that in-between look. It's a little much with the red, but you know what? I like it. Tony Stark, they finally give him more than just PTSD in this film. They show his need to prevent and to protect the world with a suit of armor around it, which is really his biggest flaw, is his need to protect, his need to prevent things, which cause, you know, part of the Civil War. They really set that up nicely, and for the rest of the MCU, for the rest of the time you see Tony Stark, really his goal is to prevent. You see that first in this film. James Spader, casted as Ultron, his entrance to begin with, like, is one of the best villain entrances, where he's, I have strings, but now I'm free. Like, the whole Pinocchio, like, buggy suit vibe, it was so creepy. His voice is perfect. He feels like he's in genuine pain of not only existing, but given a task that he can't entirely comprehend or do without hurting people. So he is doing that because he feels like he needs to. His programming is wrong in that case. So I don't often blame Ultron. I blame Tony for the creation of Ultron. Speaking of creations, the Hulkbuster armor.
my God, one of the best designs in the MCU. It's one of the coolest suits in the comics, and they bring it into live action so well in this film. And it carries on into Infinity War. Yeah, it's great. You also see that it's not just like a big, strong suit. It also has like gas to pass out the Hulk. It has cuffs, flight protection built around Tony's armor. It's designed by Tony and Bruce together for worst case scenarios. And you see all the functions. I also love that pieces come flying into it. Like, even if you break off more, there'll always be more Hulkbuster. So that's a very smart move. Every aspect of the design of Hulkbuster was thought out, and I love that. Speaking of design, Vision, the reverse Uncanny Valley. If you don't know what the Uncanny Valley is, it's basically in animation when you try to create a human face, it becomes more and more unsettling. So with Vision, what they did was, because Paul Bettany is a human, they kind of put a little bit of technology on him, so he looks a little bit robotic in small places, and I love that look. They keep it throughout the rest of the MCU. It's great. I don't want to just keep talking about Paul Bettany, but Paul Bettany's casting is one of the best in the MCU, and it was casted in this film. I know that he was in Iron Man, and he was in the beginning of the MCU as Jarvis, but bringing him into Vision, it felt so seamless. Like, his lines, his interactions, he has some of the most quotable lines in this film. I think this is my favorite moments of Vision are in this film, where he is talking to Ultron, where he is talking about that he doesn't want Ultron to die, that he is unique and he's in pain, but that pain will lead to destruction, so he must be destroyed. Like, he's talking out all these calculations. The way Paul Bettany speaks, it really feels not robotic. It feels genuinely good. Like, it feels like Vision is empathetic to everything, but he also understands everything because he's a robot. So it's a hard line to walk, and I think Paul Bettany does an amazing job at it. There are smaller moments in this film that I really love as well, when Vision saves Wanda from the Sokovia destruction. It's just that small tidbit where you're like, oh, were you planting the seeds, you know? Wanda's reaction to Pietro's death is one of the saddest and most beautifully filmed moments in the MCU. This is a funny moment. Thor throws a lady. Like, there's a lady in a car, and Thor catches the car, and instead of picking up the whole car because he can't, he just throws the lady up to Captain America, which is horrifying, but really funny. We can't talk about Age of Ultron without bringing up the hammer scene, which is one of the funniest human scenes in the MCU. I love it more in hindsight because of the endgame, Captain America being able to pick up Thor's hammer. Captain America clearly was just trying to be polite and not pick it up to throw off Thor, but it's funny. It's a funny scene, and it makes more sense now. There's also the slow motion fight at the end. It's pretty well done. I don't think it's as good as the original Avengers, but it's a pretty cool shot. The only thing I don't like is that in that slow motion shot, Hawkeye throws his bow at someone, and I'm like, what are you gonna do next? You just threw your whole bow. That's like your whole weapon. Like, what are you doing, Hawkeye? What are you doing? Now, there are things I really don't like about this film, which I'm gonna be bringing up next. I'm sorry, I don't want to be negative, but I gotta be a little negative right now. This movie is very CGI heavy. Noticeably within Iron Man's final suit, Ultron, and the opening scene, Thor's actions look really weird. I don't like it. I think they could have done better for Iron Man particularly. There are two characters that are both basically wasted. Baron Strucker, who was heavily set up in Captain America the Winter Soldier, the whole end scene with Captain America the Winter Soldier and his whole monologue about miracles, that was great. I wanted to see more of Strucker, and Strucker's a pretty big character in the comics, and he's killed off screen. It was not worth it, you know? Helen Cho is also wasted. I remember there's one scene where Mark Ruffalo is talking, and he's like, Ultron needs to evolve. Has anyone been in contact with Helen Cho? And I literally went, who? Because that character is so sidelined in most of the movie, and then she comes up for one moment to help create Vision, but that's pretty much it. So other than that, she doesn't come up later in the MCU at all either. She's not a really important character. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch aren't particularly interesting in this film either, besides their visual language. They don't bring much to the table as far as, like, you know, noticeable lines, anything cool, besides those Scarlet Witch moments I talked about. They weren't that cool. They were just henchmen for a long time. And they end up siding with Stark after they join the Avengers, and after the whole tragic backstory without any kind of confrontation with Tony. They have this whole story about how Tony's missile killed their family and nearly killed them, and they were waiting for days just looking at this missile, waiting for it to go off. And it's really sad. But then they join the Avengers and pretend like everything's cool. And that's a little weird to me. There could have been a little bit more of a confrontation between them and Tony. Not only that, their costumes aren't very cool. Like, Scarlet Witch has a red jacket, and Pietro has, like, a long sleeve. And that's pretty much it. There could have been more design to that. And to piggyback off of that, Hawkeye's trench coat, or, like, his big coat, I'm not a big fan of it. I think Hawkeye has been the character that they've done the worst job at costuming with. Besides, maybe his Ronin costume is pretty cool. But other than that, let's see a cowl. Let's do or give him the mask from the Ultimates, you know? But they don't do that. But you can't talk about Age of Ultron without bringing up Bruce and Natasha, which such a weird love story. Such a weird idea. I think on paper, I understand what they were trying to do with these two people who clearly, like, don't love themselves, who clearly think of themselves as monsters, as these things that can't be redeemed. And so they come together and they're supposed to see themselves in each other, you know. But it comes off a little creepy. Mark Ruffalo, I think, is a little bit too old for her. I think the chemistry wasn't there. I think if there's chemistry with any characters, it's Chris Evans and Black Widow. But, you know, it felt very forced. It came out of nowhere. I think that's my biggest problem with it, is that it just happened. And I'm not a big fan of it. And I think this movie suffers the most because of world building. They try to world build so much in this film. Wakanda, with Claw, with Thor Ragnarok, and Thor has a weird vision bath. Civil War is heavily set up in this film. Infinity War is heavily implied in this film. Black Widow gets even some implications in this film. Endgame, there is so much world building that this movie suffers to an extent. I think that they could have backtracked a little bit, maybe a little bit less Wakanda stuff, definitely less Thor stuff, because Thor leaves and goes in a weird vision bath, and it's really weird. I'm not a huge fan of that scene. Civil War, I guess, you can't do much else because this is the movie right before Civil War, so they have to set it up a little bit. But there's just a lot of setup and not enough of its own stuff in its own film. There's a fight right before they make Vision between the Avengers that I think is very lame. I think it's not a cool scene. I don't think... It happens very quickly, and then Thor ends up putting his lightning into Vision, and that was kind of cool, but other than that, it's a fine scene. The new Avengers lineup is very lame. It's like Falcon, War Machine, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Captain America, and Black Widow. Now, later on, I think it's cool, but when I watched it the first time, I was like, most of these characters haven't done anything that cool yet, besides Captain America and Black Widow. So this new lineup doesn't get me very excited. I think if I were watching it like now, I did watch it now. The lineup's cool because Falcon's cool. You know, War Machine does more. Vision does more. Scarlet Witch does much more by 2020. But then it was like, oh, this is a weak lineup. This doesn't look cool compared to what we just had. But whatever. And finally, there's one scene that I want to talk about the death of Pietro, which I think was well done because the line, like, you didn't see that coming, that was good. The death, the reaction was good. They do this one thing where they close up on Jeremy Renner, and it looks like he's going to die. And then they do a quick shot to Pietro, and then go back to Jeremy Renner. So it's like, oh, you know, Pietro's going to save him. I think if they didn't show Pietro at all and just did the running by real quick and then you see it's Pietro, that would have been a lot more of an effective twist. I think that would have been a more effective scene if we didn't see Pietro in that one shot. I know that's very nitpicky, but we all knew what was going to happen as soon as we saw Pietro, and I think it ruins the reveal. And that's just, you know, that's just me. I don't know. Overall, I think this film in hindsight does more good for the MCU than bad. I think it's an enjoyable film. I just think for an Avengers film, it's definitely a disappointing one. Vision is my favorite part of this film. I think Scarlet Witch at the end of this film, you know, she gets a costume, but other than that, they don't do much with her in this film. So if you want to skip this one for the Scarlet Witch, I guess, but you shouldn't skip it for Vision because this is very much the beginning of his story. The next film I have on my list, which is Captain America Civil War, is much bigger for Scarlet Witch, I think. So we're going to be watching that film next, but that won't be next week. That will be in 2 weeks, because next week I'm going to be doing this exact same thing for Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman 1984 comes out next week. We got to watch Wonder Woman. You know, Wonder Woman's a great, great film. Let me know if you like this, though. Let me know if you like the breakdown. If you didn't, if there are any films that you want me to break down in the future, I would love to break them down. Go ahead. Finally, I'm going to leave you with a recommendation that I brought up near the beginning of the podcast. He is coming back for Spider-Man 3, so it only makes sense that you watch his show Daredevil on Netflix. There are 3 seasons, some of the best television you'll ever watch. Charlie Cox was born to play this role. He reinvigorates the character from that horrible Daredevil movie that we had. Really leaves that taste out of your mouth. You get one of the best MCU villains in Kingpin. You get the introduction of Jon Bernthal's The Punisher. You get tie-ins to the Defenders, and you get some really intense human realistic action, which I loved. Definitely check it out. I'm not going to go much more into it because I really think everyone should watch this show, and I don't want to give off spoilers or anything like that, but please check it out. There are 3 seasons. If you want to do by continuity, watch the first 2 seasons, watch The Defenders, and then watch season 3. Season 3 is my favorite. I love the show. You'll realize why people want the Save Daredevil campaign. Like, the Save Daredevil campaign has been alive for like 2 years, and you'll understand why once you watch this show. So go ahead and check it out. And that's really all I had for you guys today. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. That was a long week. I'm so excited for a lot of this stuff. Let me know what you're excited about. Email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com or follow me at liveactionremake on Instagram and Facebook. It really helps us grow the podcast. I appreciate all of you so much. Let me know what you were excited about. Please go ahead and email me. I'd love to hear some recommendations from y'all. Let me know if you liked this review. Let me know if you liked Age of Ultron. And let me know if you're excited for Wonder Woman 1984. Be sure to come back next week so we can review Wonder Woman. And I'll give you all the news and new recommendations for you. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Have a good one. I'm signing out.